in Parshas Emor, towards the end of Parshas Emor, in Perek Chaf Dalet, 24th chapter, and finding a halakhic topic here is a little difficult, specifically because in all the Minchas Asher, where he talks about, when he gives halakhic topics for the week, so everybody focuses on things having to do either with Kohanim and Tumas Kohanim, or the other things having to do with Kohanim, or things having to do with the Moed, the holidays. So everybody just kind of leaves off this last Perek, but there are really three sections this last parak. Number one is the lighting of the menorah. Number two is the setting up of the Lechem Hapanim. And number three is the story of the Mekalo, the one who cursed God, and his subsequent stoning. So we could have done that. We could have gone there and gone to Sanhedrin, some halachos of that. But there is something earlier in the parsha, and that is in Pasuk Ches, Perek Chaf Dalet, Pasuk. Well, Tess actually, but in Ches it says b'yom Hashabbos yarchenu lifnei Hashem tamid meis b'nei Yisrael b'Yisraelim. You're going to set it up in front of Hashem, and then it says v'haisa the lechem, the bread as it comes off, v'haisa li'aron ulevanav. The lechem will be for Aaron and his sons. So what does it mean that it will be for Aaron and his sons?
They should munch on it.
They will munch on it, right? How much will everyone get? How much will everyone get? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Mechzel Aaron uMechzel Levanav. That half of it goes to Aaron and half of it goes to his sons. So how does that then? Why does Aaron get half?
Right.
Why does Aaron get half? Is it because Aaron's the dad? No. Why does Aaron get half? Because Aaron had a specific position. What was Aaron's position? He was the Kohen Gadol, and that seems to be the assumption that the Kohen Gadol gets half. And everybody else gets the other half. Now, it doesn't quite work out that way, as we'll see, as this idea is quoted in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara has a brisa in Maseches Yuma on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where it says, Ketzad Makriv Chelek Barosh. How does the Kohen Gadol get his first portion? That's what the Mishnah tells us. The Kohen Gadol gets the first portion. So what does it mean that he gets the first portion? So Omer, he says, Ola Zuani Makriv, Mincha Zuani Makriv. That he could say, I'm going to bring this soul, I'm going to bring this Mincha, and he has first right. Okay, and then what does it mean, Notel Chelek Barosh? What does it mean that he gets the first portion? I mean, that's the bringing of the first portion. He gets to decide which Korbanos he's going to bring that day. And taking the first portion, he says, Chatas Zuani Ochel, or Asham Zani Ochel. I'm going to eat this Chatas, I'm going to eat this Asham, and I'm going to eat this Asham. And continues on in a second. Now the Rashi, what does that mean that he's going to eat this chatas, he's going to eat this asham? So Rashi earlier, this is quoted off of the Mishnah, so Rashi and the Mishnah says when it's divided up. I mean, when it gets divided up, he's going to get the first portion that he wants. Now that's a little bit of a suspect explanation, as we're going to see shortly. The Rambam doesn't explain it that way. The Rambam says he gets whatever he wants. In Maaser Kabanus Perek Yud Halacha Yud Ches, he gets everything. Can he have the whole thing even? So that's a little unclear. But our Bryce is saying that he gets at least first dibs on Korbanos. And then he says, and he gets first dibs on what he gets to eat as well. Now it doesn't exactly line up, just to understand this Bryce. The Bryce says, I'm going to bring this Ola, I'm going to bring this Mikha. And then he says, I'm going to eat this Chatas, or I'm going to eat this Asham. Those are different karbanos. Why doesn't it just be consistent and mention the same karbanos? So the Givuras Ari. Givuras Ari is written by the Shagas Aryeh. So Shagas Aryeh comments on this. This is just my notes in the art scroll footnote here. That I want to demonstrate that he can even claim things that he didn't offer, that these aren't contingent on one another. It doesn't say, oh, I'm going to offer this and I'm going to take a portion of it. No, he can offer whatever he wants and he can take whatever he wants, whether or not they're the same thing. He can say, I'm taking the day off, I'm offering karbanos, but I'm going to take, I feel like having a barbecue tonight and having a significant amount of meat, so he's entitled to. And that's what the Kohen gets. That's his entitlement with regards to Korbanos. Then he continues on and says, V'notel chala mishtei chalos. He gets one of the two loaves. When are there two loaves that are offered? What's that talking about? It's not talking about the lechem apanim. What's it talking about with the two loaves? Come on, we just had it. That is the Korban on the holiday of Shavuos. The holiday of Shavuos brings the Korban Shtei Halechem. It's the back end to the Korban Omer. Korban Omer is a barley offering brought on the second day of Pesach. And then the Shtei Halechem is a bread offering, one of the two chametz offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is offered on Shavuos. And that, of course, shows the growth of Bnei Yisrael, perhaps, over that time. Certainly, if they eat a lot of bread, there'll be other types of significant growth. But I don't think that's what they were alluding to. But anyways, that's number one. So it takes one loaf. So he gets one of those two. And then he gets arba uchamesh mimaise lechem hapanim. He gets four or five of the lechem hapanim breads. Four or five. What's four or five? How many lechem hapanim breads are there?
12.
So why is only four? What's four or five? What's that? And then just to finish off the brisa, just keep that in mind for a second. So Rabbi Omer liolam chamish. No, he gets five. Shenemar v'isal Aaron ulvanav mechzel Aaron umechzel levanav. That Arayuda says no. He gets five. Half, because it says it will be for Aaron and his sons. Half goes to Aaron. Half goes to sons. But wait a second. We're still not up to 12. We're still not up to half. Are you still going on less than half? So they're having a machlokas whether he gets four, five, or five. But not, no one's saying he gets half. So why is he not getting half? So there's two other factors that come into play, as the Gemara continues to point out. Number one is that who gets the rest of the bread offering, the rest of the lechem hapanim? Who gets the rest of the breads?
The Kohanim.
Now, which Kohanim get them? Anybody just comes in and shows off his card. He's got his Kohen ID card and he's entitled to bread. Who gets the Lechem Hapanim of that week?
The ones on duty.
The ones working that week. There's only one problem. When do they switch? I mean, they're working that week. When do they switch? They switch that day. Shabbos is the...
So you don't know whether he's on the
day. Right. So who are they dividing it between? So they're dividing it between the group that comes and the group that goes. And then there's a question about maybe the group that is going to close up. I forget which way it goes. The group, I think, that opened it up that day, maybe they get extra over the course of that day. The incoming watch. It could be that the incoming watch, they get an extra amount over the course of that day. That's discussed in Masechta Sukkah. So it's going to be whittled down a little bit. So it could be that they are already taking two. So why is it that the Kohen Gadol is going four or five? So then the other factor that the Gemara adds in is the lav ala arach ara. Sorry. Right. We don't take it half. Rather, the Kohen Gadol takes less than half. Why is the Kohen Ema Mitziyasa? So Arba Uchamish Maiselechem. He gets four or five. Asan L'Rabban Darmi Lo Shakil Pagav. He says he doesn't take half. Why doesn't he take half? So there, Rashi says because it's not so nice for the Kohen Gadol. That's a lot. The Kohen Gadol is going to take half, and everybody else is going to take the other half. So rather, we knock down the Kohen a little bit. So why don't we? What with the Lechem Apanim? We don't. Right. Sorry, with the Shtei Halechem, we don't. With the Shtei Halechem, he's getting half. And with the Lechem Hapanim, he's getting less than half. So why is it that by the Shtei Lechem also, we should give him a little bit less than half? So that, the Gemara answers that Beprusa Delav Orach Ara Lemisva LeKohen Gadol. That it's improper to only give a piece to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol should be getting full loaves, not only pieces. So back into our understanding of this price. So when it comes to Karbanos, he's going to get whatever he wants. Now, what about do Karbanos? Does he get the whole korban? Does he get a piece there? So there, that's probably why it doesn't give a specific amount, because he's going to take whatever he wants of that. We can't say, are you going to take this or that, etc. But when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, he's going to take one loaf for him and one loaf for else, one for me and one for thee, and he's going to be able to. And he doesn't take a little bit less because, you know, he's not going to get anything then. He needs to give him a full loaf. When it comes to Lechem HaPanim, we're going to give him full loaves. The incoming group get a significant amount, get two extra, so that's already knocked off. You're either dividing 10 and therefore dividing it 5 and 5, or that he's getting even one less because he's the Kohen Gadol. It's improper for him to take, so to take a full half. So therefore he's going to be knocked down a little bit.
Oh, I see, I see. Because the half would be
Correct. Okay. So What's the problem with that? What exactly is the nature of that? That it's improper for him to get a full half. So there is a sefer called the Shiura Mitzuyan Bahalacha. So he's most prominent. The sefer of Rav Braun is his name, or Broin. I actually noticed one time I came across the website of a rabbi in Seattle who puts on his website that he's the grandson or the great grandson of Rabbi. But he's a more modern sefer. He's most prominent for writing a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which itself is interesting because the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rav Shlomo Ganzfried, when he wrote his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he wrote, I believe, in the introduction saying, I don't want anyone writing any commentaries on my sefer. I want it to remain like the simple thing for the simple shit. Everybody looks up. No commentaries allowed. But anyways, he went and wrote a commentary on it. I'm sure in the introduction he explains why that would be. But he also wrote a pretty extensive, on all of Shas, it pretty much has a running commentary on all of Shas. He picks up about two or three interesting items a day, items a daf. It's just, you know, it's not really like we're going to go through everything, just per daf, a couple of haros per page. So I happen to have one of those volumes for some reason. I probably picked it up at like used book sale or something. At some point, that entered into my possession. But he does have very interesting, whatever he writes is like kind of a little off the beaten track. But he picks up and he has some very interesting aros. So here I just picked up, I don't have too many achron on Mesechus. He just picked up, what does he say on this topic? And he has one interesting aro. What is wrong with the Kohen getting a piece? I mean, it says it's improper for him to get a piece. Why is that? So there is a Gemara in Mesechus Sota, a little bit, and that Pesvav Amar Aleph, where it says that the remnants of the Korban Mincha, I mean, whatever the Kohen gets from the Mincha, from the Korban Mincha, what is the Korban Mincha? I mean, he takes some flour, that goes onto the Mizbeach, and the rest of the bowl is then eaten by the Kohen. It's turned into bread, and they are really... matzah, unleavened bread, and they get to eat it. So it says there that they're allowed to eat with wine, oil, or honey. Why is that? Because the pasuk says l'mishcha, which literally means for atonement, anointment. But the Gemara comments ligdula, that they should be considered as if they're eating like kings. So a king is supposed to get. So the kohanim, when they eat, it's not just, oh, we're going to eat a little bit on the side and quickly stick some in. They're supposed to eat like kings. So what's wrong with giving a piece? So the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, when it discusses the meanings of lechem oni, right? So we eat the matzah on Pesach. Matzah is described as lechem oni. So one of the comments that are made in the Gemara, lechem oni, that it's eaten beprusos, that poor people eat it by piece, right? On Pesach night, we break it in half. That's the lechem oni of the korban of the matzah, right? We make a bracha of motzim of alachilas matzah with the half of the matzah to demonstrate that we're like it's a poor man's bread. So a poor people eat by pieces, and wealthy people, kings, get full pieces. So a fulfillment of the Kohanim eating like kings is that the Kohen Gadol gets a full loaf. We never divide up his loaves up into pieces, and that's the way apparently kings eat. Unless, of course, you're like the dictator of North Korea, where it commented this week that everything that he ate, even in Singapore, even when they had the state lunch with Donald Trump, everything he ate was eaten by food testers first. So he didn't get full pieces. But in general, kings are supposed to have full pieces. Yeah.
When it's assigned, does it mean the honey from a bee or honey from a date? Is it never the
The Gemara there doesn't, the Gemara there doesn't make a comment. Usually honey in Tanakh is understood to be honey from dates, but it might not be the case there, because there it's just talking about a davar chashivas, right? It's talking about eating it in a special, unique way. So I don't know if that's really going to be considered a, what about putting other things? What about having it with, I don't know, vegetable soup, whatever else you want to have your bread with. So is that going to be excluded? I don't know. You got to take a look at that Gemara Maseches Sota and see what it says. Okay. So just one more note. I'm running out of time anyways, but one more note. So let's take a look also in the Chashuki Chemed on this Gemara. Chashuki Chemed are the Chuvos written by Rav Zilberstein that he puts in the order al daf. So anytime there's a connection to some to a daf someplace, so he's going to put it on. So I had it. I don't own it. At least on Masechus Yuma, I don't. But I had it on the Bar Ilan, and then I forgot to print it out and bring. Whoa. And I couldn't get it on my phone. I mean, the password didn't work for my phone. But I try to recall from memory, well, at least one of the shilas he had on that page having to do with this. And that is, right, this is all going along with the mitzvah of v'kidash tel. Right, so remember, we have a mitzvah to be maktish kohanim. We have a mitzvah to be maktish, the kohen got the kohanim. I wanted to just add, before we get there, the Torah Tamima. It's an interesting line where he points out that every time that it says La Aaron Ulvanav, anytime you're mentioning two groups, so the rich, you're dividing it up into two. Whatever it is that you're going to divide, you're dividing it up into two. So a classic example that he quotes on that is the Gemara in Baba Basra. Gemara in Baba Basra, Kufman, Gimel, Amid Aleph. It comments, Ahu debisu nixa ilachal uvanav. That when he says that he says, I'm hereby giving my Yerusha to my wife and my children, so that means that the Gemara understands it to mean that his wife gets half and the kids get half. That's the way that he's planning on dividing things up. That's the meaning of that terminology. And he says also, in terms of tashlume masis, in order to pay a tax, right? If the king is imposing a tax, so how do we pay? Does the Torah believe in an income tax? Everybody pays the same amount? A flat tax? Well, a flat tax percentage or a graduated income tax.
Right.
So the assumption is that the rich people pay half and the poor people pay half. That's a line that the Gemara has. We'll talk about that more in the next paragraph. The next paragraph discusses rich people, poor people, things going back and forth, etc. And then he has one more halacha that he quotes here from the Ramah. The Ramah says, in your day, Reish Tes Zayin, Sif Zayin. So there it comments about if money was raised for specific tzedakos. So let's say they raised money and said, this is to fund the building of the shul and the building of the Beis Medrash. And now they have this big pot of money. And wait a second, is this going for the shul or is this going for the Beis Medrash? So the president of the shul says, oh, it's all supposed to go to the shul. And the president of the kohel is saying, what do you mean? It all goes so the Ramah Paskin's half and half. I mean, if you had it as a description of going to two things, so those two things are then going to divide it up 50-50. So that's all emanating. That all comes based on this, the Gemara's understanding of this pasuk. Yeah?
You know, the fine is automatically considered half and half.
Huh?
It's not given specifically, then you assume half and half.
Right, correct. So then, Rav Zilberstein has the following shaila. What about the following case? You have a shul, and you have two boys that signed up for the bar mitzvah. To have their bar mitzvah one Shabbos, same time, same place, everything else breaks away. So one of them wanted to know, one of them was a kohen. So the non-kohen said, do I have a mitzvah to concede our role that Shabbos to the bar mitzvah boy, to the kohen bar mitzvah boy? I mean, does the kohen bar mitzvah boy get first dibs on any bar mitzvah items that are going to take place in shul that Shabbos? So he said, Rav Zilberstein said he asked his father-in-law, who was his father-in-law, Rav Yashiv, and Rav Yashiv said no. He said the yisod of kidashto, when there's a mitzvah of people to honor kohanim, that is when they are both going to get theirs. It's just a question of who goes first. Right? So the mitzvah of kidashto would be to open the door for a kohen, but you're both going to be able to get in. But if you have a ticket to the bus and the kohen needs to go someplace and they sold out of tickets, you don't have to give up your bus ticket to the kohen for him to take over. I remember anyway. So that's probably Yashiv Paskins with regards to this shaila, that with regards to the bar mitzvah. So if you can divide things up. Fine, the kohen gets to get first choice. But when it comes to maftir and laying the haftorah, there's only one maftir. There's only one haftorah. Right. So the non kohen doesn't have to give that up to the kohen as a matter of a mitzvah of a kiddushto. Rather, it would go through the regular goral process. And so I remember goral, a lottery. But however they're going to decide it, otherwise, I mean, the kohen factor doesn't play a role if it's not something that's going to go to both of them. So when I, right after 9/11, so 9/11, you recall, happened, was a Tuesday, right? And Rosh Hashanah came out the following week. I think it came out either Sunday, must have been Sunday night, must have been Monday night. right, Tuesday. It must have been Monday night, Rosh Hashanah. So I was a chazan. I was in Eretz Yisrael for 9/11/2001. And I had a job as a chazan in Rhode Island for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So I was going to come back. And anyways, it worked out. My citizenship was my father was born in Israel. So that leads to all sort of complications. So I was really only supposed to be there 4 months out of every 12. That was somehow a cheshbon that we had. So that way it worked out pretty well. So I'd go home. I went to Eretz Yisrael for Elul, came back for Tishrei, went back for cheshbon Kislev, for Mar cheshbon Kislev in Tavis. But anyways, so 9/11 happened, and all heck broke loose with regards to airplanes. A week of flights were all of a sudden canceled because of that. So I had to get. So my ticket was for Saturday night, right? My ticket was for Saturday night to get back to America. And the word was that we were going to be able to. The flight was going to be on. So I ran into. There was another. Let's say a big gadol who happened to be stuck in Israel at the time, who was a rabbi of a shul in America, and at his flight he was there for family simcha, and he needed to get back to his shul for Rosh Hashanah. So I ran into his son-in-law on Friday or so, and I asked, "Oh, what's going on? How's your father getting back to America?" I don't know how he's going to get. It's going to work, etc. I said, "Yeah, I have the same issue. I mean, I have a flight for Motzi Shabbos. It's still on, but like, who knows whether it's going to take off?" So he looks at me, he's like, "Well, maybe you should give your ticket to my father-in-law, right? And he'll be able to go back." I'm like, "I don't think I could, first of all," whether that's even possible to do, etc. "But I don't think I'm allowed to do that, right? I have a shul that's counting on me. So yes, my shul might have been, in Pawtucket with 40 people or whatever it is, and he might have had a larger shul, etc. But I don't think I'm allowed to. It might be if he gets to go earlier, some type of mitzvah of the kiddush shown that way. But I don't think there was any hetzer for that. Not that we asked him. I don't think this was really shayach to do. But I don't think that's really a okay thing to do for me to give up my thing, me therefore being mevater, me giving up my congregation that I'm supposed to go to, so that the bigger Talmud Chacham, bigger rabbi, could go to the bigger shul that he's supposed to go to." So too, I never brought that up with him directly, or anyone else directly, but that was just the feeling I had at the time, and that might tie into this mitzvah v'kiddush to as well. I assume that there's a mitzvah v'kiddush to giving kavod to Talmid Chacham as well, but that might not come at the expense of responsibilities that you have to do and that you're responsible for.
It's not just for you.
Correct. It's not. I'm not giving up my kavod. Right. It's a little shul giving up on theirs. Yeah.
Right.
All right.